The 1 Minute Father, the quickest way for you to help your children learn to like themselves and want to behave themselves, by Spencer Johnson, M.D. One day a successful man saw that he was lost, and had been for some time. He began at once to look for an answer to a problem he had never even realized he had. It began soon after the sudden death of his wife. He was left alone with his 5 children. He and his wife had both tried, as well as they knew how, to raise their children with love and discipline. They did, basically, what they had seen their parents do. The man never realized, however, how difficult parenting was on a day-in and day-out basis, and how much his wife had assumed that responsibility. He was beginning to understand what she had been trying to tell him. Now, the more time the father spent around his children, the more he realized how unaware he had been. He remembered how often his wife had said that she was frustrated because she felt the situation with the children was getting worse. But he never wanted to acknowledge the problem. The man now saw how challenging her task had been. He knew that it would have been better if they had mutually supported each other in the raising of their children. The man then began to look at his children's behavior, undisguised by their mother's peacekeeping and nurturing ways. He wondered how often she had simply been trying to protect him from his children's misbehavior, or was it they who had been protected from him? The more he saw for himself, the more he realized how unruly his children were, how unappreciative they seemed of all that he and their mother had done. And what was that look in their eyes? Their own confusion? He knew he had started his family later in life than most men. He'd been so busy. But was he that much out of touch with the younger generation? Were all children this way? How and when did his children get this way? As time went by, the father began to see the beginnings of serious problems in his family, the kind he had only read about, and always, of course, in other families. For the first time, he began to be disturbed by the news reports on television and in the newspapers. He didn't want to think about the things he knew were happening elsewhere. The increasing incidence of juvenile drug use, vandalism, illegitimacy, delinquency, even violent crime and suicide. It was too disquieting. He tried to block it out of his mind, but when he saw his own children staying away from home a little longer, a little more often, he thought about the increasing problem of juvenile runaways. He allowed himself for a moment to realize that families everywhere were experiencing the personal pain behind the impersonal statistics. The man loved his children. He decided to do something about it. But what? What would he do first? The once unaware man now looked at his family with new eyes. Then he saw what he hoped was the answer. "I have not held my children accountable," he thought. "They get away with a great deal, and that is not good for them, or for me. What my children need is more discipline," he decided. And the man was right. His children did need more discipline. And so he began to discipline them more, the best way he knew how. At first, the man did more of what his parents had done. Whenever his children misbehaved, he either grounded them, threatened them, sent them to their rooms, removed their privileges, or spanked them. But he did not get the results he wanted. So he disciplined them even more, doing more of what he'd already done. He was exhausting himself, but his children's behavior improved temporarily. Their attitudes, however, did not. They grew more obedient on the outside, but more resentful on the inside. The man could feel the tension in his home. He was becoming frustrated. It seemed as if the harder he tried, the worse the situation became. He knew he did not know what to do. However, the father had been in this situation in other areas of his life, and he had always found a successful answer. So he did what had worked for him so many times before. He looked for someone who knew. The man introduced himself to the physician who had just poured him a cup of coffee. He explained, "I don't know why I can't run my family as well as I run some of the other aspects of my life." The physician, who specialized in family behavior, said, "I know what you must be feeling." Then he quietly asked, "Why do you think you have to run your family?" The man paused and listened. He hadn't thought of that before. He assumed that it was his responsibility. As he listened, especially to himself, he began to learn. "Which do you think would be easier for you?" the man was asked. "To run your children's lives or to have them successfully run their own lives?" "Well, now that you ask, I guess I'd like them to be able to decide wisely what is right for them. I want what all parents want. I'd like my children to be happy and to grow up to become the kind of people they would like to be." "Well, what's your biggest problem right now?" the physician continued. "Discipline," he answered. "I can't even get them to behave for me, let alone be happy." "Behave for you?" the physician asked. "Okay, okay," the man said, with his hands raised in mock surrender. "For themselves." The physician laughed. He liked this man. "I'm also a father," he said, "and I face the same challenges. I have been fortunate, however, to discover a method of discipline that takes very little time and yet works wonders for the family." The man looked both hopeful and embarrassed. "I'm afraid I've taken very little time so far with my children," the man admitted. "I'm not so concerned about how much time it takes me as I am about how much it will help my children and me. I want things to be better for my family." "You want the best for your children, and that is admirable. But would you mind if you could get very good results in very little time?" The man laughed and said, "I'd love it. How soon can I learn it?" "You can learn about the discipline method very quickly, although it may take you a few weeks of using it before you learn to do it well yourself. In fact, when you first use this discipline method, it will be different, and so you may not feel as if you're being yourself." "Like when I first learned a better golf swing," the man suggested, "I felt that the new way was not me. But then after a while, it felt more natural, and I was very glad that I had changed." "If you understand that and are willing to change the way you discipline, I have good news. You can learn to discipline your children so they will want to behave themselves. And the best part is that you and your children will come to respect and enjoy each other more." "It sounds terrific. Where do we start?" "Let's begin by looking at what good discipline is. The word discipline itself comes to us from the Latin word disciplina, which means teaching. Our job as fathers is simply to teach our children the advantages of self-discipline." "It sounds to me," the father noted, "as if the kind of discipline you're talking about would make me more of a teacher and less of a punisher. How would I go about it?" "The method I use is deceptively simple and easy to learn. It takes only a minute to do, so I call it the 1 minute reprimand." "The what?" the astonished man asked. He believed somehow that good discipline would be complicated. "With all due respect, doctor, it sounds so simple that I am afraid that it probably wouldn't work with my children." "I can understand your skepticism. All my professional training leads me to question anything that might be simplistic. However, while I don't like to make promises, I can assure you that if you use the method properly, you will get the results you're looking for." The man decided to put his doubts aside and listen. If it was true, it was exactly the kind of discipline he'd been trying to find. "What do I do first?" the man asked. "Let's begin to understand what you are going to do," the physician suggested, "by knowing what you want to achieve as a result of the reprimand. Before you do anything, remind yourself that when I discipline my children, I want them to feel bad about their misbehavior, but good about themselves." The man thought for a moment. "That's very interesting," he said. "I never thought about the difference between how children feel about their behavior and how they see themselves. I thought they were pretty much the same thing." "I'm glad you said that. That is why most reprimands do not work very well. Children are like the rest of us. Whenever someone attacks our behavior as though it were the same as our worth, we get defensive. And then what do? Well, we defend our behavior," the father said. "Yes, of course," the physician responded. "Even if we know we were wrong." "That's exactly what happens with my children," the father admitted. "Frankly, I'm ready to learn a better way. Where do I start?" The physician was very specific. "Deal with each child as an individual and in private." Even though you may be very angry with your behavior, it is important for you to be aware of your real feelings. If you love your children, you feel two things, real anger and real love. So verbalize both. Just remember, before you begin to reprimand them, what your key to success is. Your children's behavior is not okay, but they are okay. Then look your child straight in the eye. Say very clearly what your child has done. Be as specific as you can. It only takes a few seconds. You have come home very late. You did not tell me where you were going. This is the second time this week. Next, tell your child in no uncertain terms how you feel about what he or she has done. I am angry. I am very angry. If you are angry, express anger angrily. If you are annoyed, express it with annoyance. I am annoyed. I am very annoyed. If you are sad, be sad. In short, express whatever you really feel, honestly and emotionally. The most important part of the first half of the 1 minute reprimand is that you want your children to feel what you are feeling. They will know that you are upset just from the fact that they are receiving a reprimand. You want your children to do more than just know you are upset. You want them to feel it. It will not hurt your children for you to tell it like it is. It will simply help them learn. Just remember, your children are not your punching bags, the doctor cautioned. Do not go on and on about it. It doesn't take long to let someone know how you feel. In as little as half a minute, you can let them know in no uncertain terms. Then pause. You want your child to feel your feelings, so just let the unpleasant silence hang in the air. During these uncomfortable few seconds, the children won't like it, or you, at that moment. The typical feelings of resentment will begin to occur. No one likes to be reprimanded, but that is exactly what you want from the first part of the reprimand. You want it to be unpleasant. After the man thought for a while about what he had just heard, he spoke quietly. I must say, the first half of the 1 minute reprimand is brief, but I could almost feel the discomfort myself as I listened to you express your anger, and it wasn't even the one being reprimanded. Believe me, the physician said, although it doesn't last long, receiving a 1 minute reprimand is not a pleasant experience. The father nodded and continued to think. Then he asked, so how do I solve the problem of my children resenting me for it and becoming defensive and unpleasant themselves? By doing the last half of the reprimand, the physician said, it's the key to success. If you do not do it, the reprimand will not be effective. If you do the last half of the 1 minute reprimand, it will work. Your children will choose to dramatically improve their own behavior. I must remind you, however, the physician cautioned, that while it is simple to do once you have learned to do it, it is not easy at first, especially if you are not used to doing it. It will require a significant change in your behavior. I understand, the father said, but I really do want to find a better way. What do I do next? In the first half of the minute, you have emotionally told your child the truth. You are angry, frustrated, sad with his behavior. Now, take a deep breath and calm yourself down. When you are ready, look at and touch your child in a way that lets him know you are on his side. Then, for the next half minute or so, quietly tell your child the rest of the truth. It is what he wants and needs to hear most from you right now, that he is a good person and that you love him. I know it may be difficult to do the second half of the reprimand, but it is by far the more important part. Just keep it honest and brief. Your behavior tonight was not good, but you are good. That's why I'm so upset. You're better than that kind of behavior. I know you are a good person and I love you a lot. Then give your child a quick hug to let him know that the reprimand is over. When it's over, it's over. You don't mention it again. The father reflected on what he had heard. It was amazing to think that something so simple could work so well. It's literally hard to believe. I know, the physician acknowledged, but the more you believe it and do it, no matter how hard your children resist, the faster you and your children will get the marvelous results you are all looking for, just as other families have. Speaking of families, the physician said, a few of them taught me something very important. What's that? The father asked. When I first developed this method, I thought of it as a discipline method. When you begin, it will be just that, and it will be very effective. And later on, the father inquired, after you've used it for a while with your children, you will see that although it acts as discipline, it is really communication at its best. And that is when you will begin to see another use for the method. It will become more than just a way for you to communicate with your children. You mean, the man interjected, that it will become a way for them to communicate with me? Yes. Your children undoubtedly have some pent-up feelings and frustrations of their own. Are you saying, the man asked, that I should encourage them to be just as honest with me? Yes, when you are ready, the man was told. Use the reprimand for a while yourself and see how quickly it clears the air and improves things at home. Then, when you have enough experience and confidence with using it, you might suggest that your children do the same with you. Families who are using the method have found from their own experiences that it works better when the communications flow freely and equally. When your children have seen you express your feelings without attacking the other person, they will be more apt to tell you honestly how they feel without being inconsiderate or rude to you. The father said, fine, I'm going to try it. Then he wrote down a summary, as though he were already using what he had just learned. He wrote, the one-minute reprimand works well when, number one, I tell my children beforehand that I am going to reprimand them when their behavior is unacceptable to me, and I encourage them to be just as honest with me. Point number two, I reprimand my children as soon as possible. Number three, I tell them specifically what they did. Number four, I tell my children in no uncertain terms just how I feel about what they've done. Number five, I am silent for a few very long, unpleasant seconds to let them feel what I feel. In the second half of the reprimand. Number six. Then I calm down and touch my children in a way that lets them know I am on their side. Seven. I remind my children that while their recent behavior was not good, I think they are good. Number eight. I tell my children I love you, and I hug them. When the reprimand is over, it's over. I don't mention it again. Number nine, later in the day, I listen to whatever the children want to tell me. Number ten, I realize that while it may take me only a minute to reprimand my children with love, the benefits may last them for a lifetime. The man stood up, shook hands, and thanked the physician. He was told that he could telephone any time with the questions that were bound to arise as he began to use the one-minute reprimand in his own home. As he walked back to his car, the man thought, this sounds simple enough, but I know it's going to require a change in my behavior, and that's not going to be quite so simple. I wonder if I can tell my kids how I feel. I haven't always found that easy to do. And I wonder if I can calm down after telling them in no uncertain terms how I feel about their behavior. I hope I can remember to remind them that they are good, and to tell them that I love them. But the man knew that as a child, he would have liked to have heard such words himself. As he thought about changing the way he disciplined his children, he was uncomfortable. Then he decided that gaining a better family was worth the temporary discomfort of his trying something new. He knew he was going to try. As he returned to his car, he scanned his mind for a hook, a thought he could hang on to as he began to use this new method of discipline. Then he made an important note. It was a single sentence which he wrote in positive language. He hadn't realized it yet, but this was an invaluable first lesson that would eventually lead him to discover for himself the more complete answer that he was looking for. He reread the sentence several times. The more children like themselves, the more they like to behave themselves.
After the man arrived home, he met with his 5 children. He knew it would be an uncomfortable gathering, but he hoped it would be a useful one. "I would like to be a better father," he admitted, "and frankly," he added with a smile, "I wouldn't mind if you kids acted a little better yourselves." "I've been working so hard to be a success elsewhere," he said, "I'm afraid I've neglected some of the most important parts of my life. You." Then the father told his children what he had learned about the 1-minute reprimand. They asked questions which he answered honestly. The father told his children that he would have preferred such discipline when he was a child himself, but he was never given the choice. Then he gave each child just such a choice. When they misbehaved, they could get more of the same kind of punishment they now received, or they could get a 1-minute reprimand. Neither seemed appealing. No one spoke. "Giving my children a 1-minute reprimand when they misbehave," he thought, "is something I'm going to do for my children, not something I'm going to do to them." The father knew from his work that when people participate in a decision that affects them, they are more apt to want it to succeed. Then the father said, "Think of it as a bet where you can either win or break even. If it helps us enjoy a happier home, we win. If not, we break even. Things will pretty much stay the same." The older boy, who had grown into a resentful teenager, said, "Who cares? It's not going to make any difference anyway." The father replied, "Fine. I'll just go right on disciplining you the way I always have, if that's really what you want." Then he turned and asked, "What about the rest of you?" The other children had grown tired of their older brother's attitude. "It sounds fair to me," the middle daughter said. "Me too," the older girl decided. The 9-year-old boy asked quietly, "Can I wait and see how this all turns out?" The father laughed. "Okay," he said with a false growl. "I'll just go right on spanking you." "Oh," the youngster said. "Now that I think of it, I think a reprimand would be better." Then the father did a very wise thing. He honestly admitted, "To tell you the truth, I don't know if I can do it, or do it very well. I'm not good at expressing my feelings. I never saw my own dad do it. I just don't know if I can change." The older boy said, "Well, you could at least try." The man didn't know if his older son's comment was resentful or hopeful, but he saw it as ironic that the child, who had said it wouldn't make any difference, had asked him to try. The children came to appreciate their father more because he had told them the truth up front about the reprimand, gave them each a choice, and frankly admitted that he wouldn't always do it just right. The father then began to use the 1-minute reprimand with 4 of his 5 children. As soon as the father began to use the reprimand, he met resistance from every one of his children. All of them, in their own way, tried everything they could think of to get their father to stop using the painful method of discipline. They wouldn't look at their father while he was speaking to them. They stared out the window and acted bored. They looked up at the ceiling with annoyance, anything to avoid their father's eyes. They laughed nervously and made light of what they were being told. The toddler covered her ears with her tiny hands and pressed her lips tightly together, shutting out all of the world around her. The younger boy's favorite trick was to look at his wrist to read the imaginary watch he didn't own. He was timing his father. He knew he was receiving a 1-minute reprimand, and he wanted his father to know that he knew what was going on. They tried to walk away, of course, and just not listen to any more, but the father persisted. No matter what the children did to dilute the effect of the reprimand, the father continued. He expressed himself in no uncertain terms. Before long, the children began to feel his anger or frustration or sadness or whatever else he was really feeling about their behavior. They knew it was not acceptable to him, and they didn't like the feeling. But what hurt the most was the moment when he calmed down, touched them in a caring way, and told them they were better than such behavior. And then he reminded them of how much he loved them. It was what they really wanted to hear. But you'd never know it from their behavior, at least not at first. In the beginning, the children talked back in the middle of the reprimand. They had explanations for what they had done, and they wanted to tell him about each one. They tried vigorously to defend their behavior, even if they knew they were wrong. But every time so, an already annoyed father reminded them in a loud voice, "This is not a discussion. I'm telling you just exactly how I feel, and if you want this to go on longer, I will continue to tell you." The children soon learned that no matter what they did, their father would let them know in no uncertain terms just exactly how he felt about their unacceptable behavior. And later, he did something that made a very big difference to his family. He encouraged his children to come back at other times and to tell him anything they wanted him to hear. Most of the time, after the children had thought about what their father had said, they knew he had been fair, and they didn't need to talk again. However, when they did come back to speak to him, he listened intensely. He wanted his children to listen to him when he spoke, and he knew the best way to get children to listen is to listen. After only a few weeks, the man noticed a big improvement in the behavior of most of his children. It didn't happen all at once, of course, and he did not achieve success painlessly. Although he had been told that the reprimand would work, still the father was so surprised to see how dramatic the improvements were. Curious, he asked his younger son one day what he thought of the one-minute reprimand as discipline. "I don't like it," the boy said. "It hurts too much and it lasts too long." When his surprised father heard this, he asked, "It doesn't hurt as much as a spanking, does it?" "The reprimand hurts a lot more, Dad. I don't like the way I feel lousy about what I did, and my feeling lasts a lot longer than a spanking. I keep thinking about what you said, that I'm better." The father knew that he'd found an answer. He soon saw more than his children's obviously improved behavior. He saw and felt the better relationship he was developing with them. They apparently did feel bad about their misbehavior, but good about themselves. And what pleased him most, they felt closer to him. The children were learning three things. They were not going to get away with unacceptable behavior. They were good, and they were loved. The father had always loved his children, of course. But as soon as he had begun to use the one-minute reprimand, he and his children began to experience a much happier home life. He thought about the difference. There is a big difference between being loved and feeling loved. The father's children began to feel loved because their father expressed his love for them. As he had expected, he had found it difficult in the beginning to express both angry and loving feelings so close to each other. When he got angry, he sometimes forgot to remind his children that they were good and that he loved them. However, simply by doing it many times over and over, he got better and better at it. He expressed his feelings about his children's poor behavior emotionally and in no uncertain terms, and then he quietly told them how much he loved them, even when their behavior was unacceptable. After he had developed his own confidence, he began to encourage his children to be just as honest with him about their feelings. One by one, they came to him in private and expressed how they really felt. They did indeed have some anger and frustrations of their own, and they told their father in no uncertain terms. And then they told their dad how much they really loved him, and they gave him great hugs. Sometimes they held on so long that it embarrassed him, but he loved it.